reading for today is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 14. Please open 1169 of the Church Bible. Chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law, or because you believe what you have heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand, then, that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of law." Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
Great. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Gail. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this last 3 weeks where we've been looking at the letter from Paul to the church in Galatia and for Paul's clarity on what it means to be saved by faith in Christ. And we pray now for today as we look at what it looks like to live for faith by faith in Christ. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to know and understand what that looks like in day-to-day life as we live for you. So we pray for this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Good. So I'm going to kick off with a live illustration, and I've got two very kind helpers who are going to come and help us with that. So Gareth and Debbie, up you come. Right, so we're going to play a game of opposites, Mr. and Mrs. And so there's going to be a number of opposites that are going to come up on the screen. Come and stand here in the middle. And they have to make their choice on which one they would go for. So if you just come here in the middle, you'll see the first one is this. Jersey, bean, or expat, which way are you going to step? So Jersey Bean with that way, expat that way. Are you a Jersey Bean?
No.
Well, you're over that way then. No. You get over there. Who does he think he is? That was meant to be very clear, black and white, Gareth. You're meant to, come on, play the game. Right, so come back to the middle. So Jersey Bean or expat. McDonald's or Burger King, which one would you go for? Oh, good, so they're both McDonald's. Good, right, okay, come back to the middle. Let's look at the next one. Beach holiday or city break? Which one do you go for? Debbie, make your choice. What would you go for? Is it a hard one?
I'd go for either.
You go for either, right. You can stand in the middle if you want. Well, there we go. Oh, dear, we've got some trouble on our holidays. Right, so come back to the middle. Cat or dog? Oh, dear. That's why they haven't got either, I think. You haven't got either, yeah. Right, okay, next one. You've got a new toy. Instruction manual or no instruction manual? Yeah, okay, you're staying the right side there. Yeah, yeah. Stay where you are. Okay, next one, holiday with the kids or weekend break without the kids? Okay, fair enough, don't tell the kids, they're upstairs. Right, okay, football or rugby?
Football.
supporting. This is watching, I think. Yeah, both rugby, fine, okay. Next one, Strictly Come Dancing or Match of the Day? Debbie doesn't want to watch either. You can stand on the fence, sit on the fence if you want. Just come in the middle, yeah. Okay, Gareth's very clear, Match of the Day. Okay, have we got any more? TV or book? What do you watch, TV or read a book? Gareth, really, you read a book? Audio book, oh right, okay. Okay, very good. Blessing or curse? Good, thank you. Good. Good, thank you. Right, let's give them a round of applause. Come on. Good. So, the passage we come to today is a passage of opposites. It's this or that. It can't be both. Law or faith, flesh or spirit, curse or blessing. You see, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at what it means to be saved by faith in Christ. We've been looking at that theory, and Paul's been reminding the people in Galatia what it's all about, and giving across his credentials as an authority to speak into this matter compared to those that were speaking a false gospel. But this week, at the end of last week, the last verse of last week's passage moved in from the theory of what it means to be saved by Christ to what it means to live by faith in Christ. So functionally, how do we live for God? That is the question that Paul is really dealing with in this week's passage. And he says that there's two paths. One leads to blessing and one is ruled by the curse. And this is really serious because this affects how we relate to God. How do we relate to God in our day-to-day lives? How do you relate to God in your day-to-day life? You see, the curse will make us believe that we're never good enough. We're always self-justifying. And it's exhausting before God. The blessing, however, is one in which when we realize that we're accepted, we truly experience God's blessing, God's love, his peace, and contentment in our lives. See, the crucial verse in this passage comes at verse 13, if you look down with me to the passage, which is on 1169. So this verse comes on the next page. Verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. God loves you and us so much that he's willing to send his one and only son to become a curse for us. What does that mean for you now, for us now, as we live the Christian life, if you have chosen to follow Jesus? Well, we could be very British about this, couldn't we? We could be, well, that's very kind of you, Jesus, but I'll be right, actually, thank you. I'll be able to take it from here. Don't worry, no need. I've got things from here. I'll be okay. Stiff upper lip. We'll fight on. See, that's the message of society. We've got this. We don't need God. We can control things and obtain things ourselves. After all, you know, this is the 21st century. It's 2019. We've progressed, which I always find an incredible statement when there have been many talented and clever people over many centuries. Are we now more clever and more talented than them? It's quite an outrageous statement, really. Okay, we've got all the information and the choice we need. We've got achievements, we've got image, we've got car, we've got house, position at work. We can control this, God. We can keep up with everyone around us. Meanwhile, fear and anxiety and mental health cases are through the roof in society in the West. Oh, and of course, society will say, oh yeah, if we have to prove ourselves to God, we also give to charity, so we're very charitable. We've become a vegan to save the planet. We wear clothes only made from recyclable products and plastics. And yet I volunteer at my local youth club. So, yeah, don't worry. If I have to justify myself before God, I'll be okay, thank you. In fact, on Friday night, I was out with my hockey teammates. We've got a big game next Sunday in London. And on Friday night, we're just having a social. We're out together for pizza. And I was chatting to one chap who's in his mid-20s, he's a lawyer. And he's done a lot of traveling around the world in his early 20s. And he was talking about how it really kind of challenged him on his worldview. He was wanting to be a lawyer, he's earning lots of money, but that traveling really opened his eyes to the world and the poverty and all the different things he saw around the world. And as a consequence, he's really trying to make an effort to live in a way that actually reflects that kind of challenge that he got around the world back here. So he volunteers by running a yoga class and on a Wednesday evening, every Wednesday evening, and all the money he gets from that, he gives to charity. Very noble cause, very worthy cause, and lots of these things that I mentioned there are good things, but they do not solve the problem of the human heart rebelling against God and living independently of him. Instead of being anchored and centered on the one that created us, the world is centering themselves on themselves, and it's exhausting. Sadly, we know as Christians, we are impacted, influenced by the culture around us, aren't we? Whether it be consciously or subconsciously, we get dragged into that mentality where we're consumed by the physical world around us to the neglect of the spiritual reality of our relationship with God. And so Paul's desire here is to remind them of this great truth, that faith in Christ brings blessing by the Holy Spirit, the knowledge that we are accepted and loved. That blessing brings peace in our relationship with God, contentment and a relief from trying to prove ourselves, not only to God, but everyone else around us in every part of our lives. That is what's at stake for Paul as he's speaking to the Galatians and us this morning. So let's dive in to the first part of the passage. The first section is verses 1 to 5. And as you see on the screen up there, it's flesh versus the spirit, law versus faith. I want to start off by telling you a little story. It's a story of my first surfing experience. It was 2008. I've tried to do lots of surfing here, and I'm still rubbish. It's in fact probably one of the hardest activities I've tried to learn. But my first surfing experience wasn't a good one. I was in Barbados with my cricket teammates, having a jolly for 2 weeks in our off-season, and we had a few games there, but we had a lot of days off, so we decided to go surfing on one of the days, or planned to go surfing. Sadly, my teammates got too drunk the night before, which is kind of standard for a cricket team, and so they all kind of pulled out of the surfing, so I was pretty disappointed. But I was determined. I wanted to go surfing, so I headed off to the beach and got to the beach and got there. And this is my first time, so I had no idea what the conditions, what they looked like and whether they'd be good or not. And a couple of the local surfers were there, and they said to me, "Are you sure you want to go in? The conditions aren't great. The currents are really strong." And I said, "No, I'll be fine. I know what I'm doing." Terrible statement. And so they gave me a board, they lent me a board, and I went in, and they said, "Look, if you head to this area here, you'll be fine, okay? You'll be fine." So I start paddling, and I'm paddling, and I'm paddling, trying to get there. I didn't get there, and I thought, I've been here probably half an hour trying to paddle to this spot, and I didn't get there, and I couldn't get there, so I just turned around and started trying to surf, and of course, I was getting wiped out by these big waves. And half an hour, 40 minutes have passed, and I looked towards the coastline. I didn't recognize any of the coastline. The beach that I'd gone in on had totally disappeared, and it was now just total rocks and cliffs. So the current had totally drifted me down. And I thought, okay, that's fine. I could get back to where I was. I started paddling. 20 minutes later, I was still paddling, but going nowhere. And at this point, I realized, actually, I was in a bit of trouble here. And I kept on paddling, but I got to the point where I was just exhausted. And I could see a couple of other surfers in the distance, and so I started kind of waving, trying to get their attention. And thankfully, one of them noticed and came over. It was a local Bayesian guy, and he was a stand-up paddler boarder, so he had a nice big kind of surfboard. And so he literally, for the next 45 minutes to an hour, was paddling his own kind of paddleboard while pushing me from behind. It really was pathetic. I was useless. I was trying to paddle. I was going nowhere. And he pushed me for the next hour, and I got back to the beach. And I was very relieved. It was, I tell it kind of jovially, but actually it was pretty serious. I was kind of in quite a lot of trouble. I got back to the beach and just collapsed on the beach and was actually sick. I was that exhausted, I was actually sick on the beach. You see, I was in great trouble and I had to acknowledge I needed help. And thankfully that Bayesian surfer came to help me out. But just imagine if I had got 200 meters or 300 meters from the beach with his help. Imagine if I just turned around and said, by the way, I'll be okay from here. I'll be all right. You've got me, you know, close. I'll now take it from here and I'll just paddle my way in. Be ludicrous, wouldn't it? Mad, what were you thinking? Well, that is in effect what the Galatians were doing here. They had tasted and experienced what it means to be a Christian, to be saved by faith in Christ. They'd called out to the rescuer and the rescuer had come and saved them. But they had now turned around to Jesus and said, actually, we know that we've been saved by faith in Christ, but we'll also just try and justify ourselves by doing a couple of things according to the law. And the Galatians were making a black and white decision, and sadly, it wasn't a good one. Paul explains that there are two routes for every human being before God. One leads to a blessing, and one leads to a curse. If you look down at verse 2 with me, we see they had gone down the correct path, faith in Jesus, received the blessing by the Spirit. They had tasted it and experienced in verse 4, if you look, they had experienced what it means to walk and experience that blessing and some of the miracles that accompanied that. But despite that, functionally, they had returned back to the pathway that leads to a curse. Hence, Paul says, you foolish Galatians, twice in this opening verses. Any fans of Dad's Army would be familiar with the character Pike. As you may well know, I've cited Dad's Army a few times. I loved watching it when I was younger. Pike, it was the youngest in the kind of company and was basically just a bit naive and very liable to make foolish mistakes. And Captain Mannering, the stocky, short-tempered captain, couldn't help but say, you stupid boy, every time Pike did something foolish. Now, Paul, I reckon, probably used something of the same tone with the Galatians here. How could you be so naive? You tasted the goodness of God by faith, and you're now returning to the works of the law? How could you be so naive? If I was to say to you the catchphrase for a crisp brand, once you pop, you can't stop, which crisp brand would that bring to mind? Can anyone guess? Once you pop, you can't stop. Go on, Debbie. Pringles, there we go. We've got a Pringles fan there. Once you pop, you can't stop. That's the logic that Pringles bring to you. Once you've tasted one of those little crisps, you can't turn back and the whole tube's gone. Paul is applying the same logic here to faith and law. You've tasted faith in Christ. You've tasted the blessing that's come from it. Why would you not continue in that way? And that's why he gives them these opposites. This is why he peppers them with these questions. There's a kind of rhetorical questions. Verse 2, works of the law or believing what you heard? Verse 3, means of the Spirit or means of the flesh? Verse 5, again, works of the law or believing what you heard? Blessing or curse? They are opposites. See, by listening to the circumcision group, the Galatians were denying their own verifiable experience of having received the Spirit with all his power and wonders. You may be familiar with the two phrases, justification and sanctification. I'm going to just briefly explain what they are just on a PowerPoint up on the screen. So justification means to be saved by faith in Christ, very simply. And sanctification is living by faith in Christ. You see, justification and sanctification, they're not two separate entities. You don't tick one off and then move on to the next. Justification flows into sanctification. It's the same process. So sanctification is a continuation of justification. And that's what Paul is really trying to help them see here for the Galatians. The way in to a relationship with God is the way on with a relationship with God. We are saved by faith in Christ. We now live by faith in Christ. So for us, what did it taste like for you when you experienced the blessing of the Spirit? When you maybe first became a Christian, Or maybe in many years of being a Christian and have experienced what it means to be blessed by God. That realization that you were accepted and you now have the gift of the Holy Spirit to give you that peace and power in your life to live a life that pleases God. For me, I couldn't believe it. I was age 20, 15 years ago. I had a lot of anxiety over whether I'd make it as a professional sports person. But I remember that turn to total trust and peace in my life. Anxiety to peace and trust. Another significant change was my lifestyle when it came to drinking, and my language was not good before God, and I knew that. I couldn't go on a night out without getting totally wasted with my teammates. There was kind of no have a few drinks and then call it a day. I just couldn't do it. I was powerless against this influence in my life, and the same with language. But when I put the white flag up and surrendered and acknowledged that I needed rescue and I needed help, that is when God came in and rescued me. That is what it means to have faith in God, to recognize that we cannot do it ourselves. And I remember when I did that, it was miraculous, really. Within a few weeks, I just no longer had a desire to get drunk anymore. I still went out with my teammates, I was still part of the team, still socializing, but just absolutely no desire to get drunk, if not drink at all. And so I was dry for many months. And my language just, again, changed over weeks, and I just couldn't swear or do anything with my language that was against God's good for me. So what's been your experience of the Spirit in your walk? Well, sadly, 15 years later, there'll be countless times I've forgotten this and functionally returned back to my old ways of self-justification. Paul would say, why would you, Nick? Seriously, why would you? Galatians, why would you? This is crucial for us because I think, you know, we can become very familiar with the gospel and we've been reminded of that gospel that saves over these last few weeks. And you could be, yeah, saved by faith in Christ. I get that. And we may even jump in with Paul and say, yeah, Galatians, you guys are pretty foolish here, aren't you? What were you doing? What were you thinking? But in practice, we resort often very much back to that works-based attitude. Functionally, we start to live and think according to our own righteousness. And Paul explains the consequence of this in 10 to 14 in more detail. But firstly, he goes to Abraham. Why does he go to Abraham? So verses 6 to 9 is our second section, which will come up on the screen. What's he doing here? Why is he going to Abraham? Well, the circumcision group were claiming that, yes, faith in Jesus, that's fine. We still do that. But we also add to that all the Old Testament laws, including circumcision. So what does Paul do? Well, he goes right back to the daddy, literally as he brings Abraham into the fight. Verse 6, which refers to Genesis 15, verse 6, Abraham believed and he credited it to him as righteousness. So no, circumcision group. The gospel was present from day one. The church started then. Growing up, when I was younger, I used to love playing the game dominoes with my brothers. We'd get loads of dominoes and we'd line them up all over the bottom floor of the house, sometimes up the stairs. And we'd get a nice long chain. And it was always amazing just to push that first domino and then they all just kind of trigger off and we'd follow it round until your brother kicks a few over and it ruins that chain. But anyway, amazing, just pushing that first one, trigger effect. That's what Paul does here. He goes right to the beginning, right back to Abraham. And from there on, all the arguments of the circumcision group collapse. Game over. From Abraham to us, never has anyone been justified and credited righteous through the law. It's just never been that way. It's good as a side note here. Notice how Paul uses the Old Testament to reference his argument here. If you look through this passage here, you'll see lots of little letters after the verses. Paul knows this is a contentious issue. Where's his authority? He goes to the scriptures and the Bible that they would have had and he had. That's how he justifies his argument through God's word, not for himself purely, but through God's word. And that's a good example for us. When we face contentious issues, we should go to God's word and let it speak into that situation. That's what Paul does here. And so we see his point is Jesus didn't change that promise. He just fulfilled it. and he fulfilled it for all of us, whether Jew or Gentile. Verse 8 says, Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. The gospel had been there long before, and it was a gospel that crossed all boundaries of time and of ethnicity, and most importantly to the people of Galatia and us here today. Whether we're from a Jewish background or whether we're from a non-Jewish background, therefore a Gentile, rich or poor, black or white, Jersey bean or expat, this is good news for us. And Paul explains why. This is where we get to this final section in verses 10 to 14. So you'll see it come up on the screen. In 10 to 14, we see that the result of the law is a curse, versus the result of faith is blessing in God. Paul puts these as two very distinctive opposites. There is no gray here, but polar opposites. Here are two systems that contradict each other. Here's the first system. It will come up on the screen, the next slide. Law plus flesh. The law plus flesh equals sin, death, and separation from God. That is the curse. The law and our flesh, our weaknesses, equal sin, death, and separation from God. That is the curse that we're powerless to as human beings. But the good news is that Jesus has given us a totally different pathway. Faith plus Jesus, faith in Jesus, equals the Spirit, which gives blessing, freedom, child of God, righteousness, and life eternal with God. See, the word curse is a strong word, isn't it? Very strong word. It gives you that sense of kind of helplessness or powerless. We're not in control. It's kind of inevitable, the result of it. And that's what verse 10 brings alive as Paul refers to Deuteronomy 27:26. He says, cursed is anyone who does not keep the whole of the law. That's what's was happening in Deuteronomy 27. You have to keep all the laws, and you're cursed if you don't keep every single law. So Paul's kind of saying, go for it. If you want to rely on your own moral performance, go for it. But just remember, you have to be perfect. That's what God expects. That is God's best for us as humanity, perfection. All those laws, 630-odd, every single day, every hour, every minute, every second, without blemish, go for it. Paul knows the outcome of this challenge every time. It's no contest. Verse 11, clearly, as Paul references Habakkuk, clearly we cannot do this. The boxing match between Fury and Wilder, for those that are boxing fans, I'm not a massive boxing fan, but it was kind of big news at the time in the sporting world. But the boxing match between Fury, who's an Englishman, and Wilder, who's an American, in December, went 12 rounds. It ended up in a draw. And so there's obviously both parties saying, well, they should have won and I should have won. And so there's been recalls for a rematch because it was so close. But when it comes to us versus the law wins every time. See, without Jesus, we're powerless against the force of the flesh being our sinful desires. Paul in Romans irritates this himself. He says, what I want to do, I do not do. What I don't want to do, I keep on doing. So there's no need for a rematch here. It wasn't even close, except the Galatians were calling for that rematch again. How foolish. Why would you? This week, I came across a story, a really sad story, really, of a man called Jared Perry, age 32, who handed himself into the police for paedophilia. Having come from a church background, he had turned his back on God and got deeper and deeper in dark patterns of thinking and behavior. But the article in the paper explains that he handed himself into the police because he had had enough of his own behavior. He said that he needed to clear his conscience. He couldn't live with himself any longer. And his lawyer said he was finding it difficult to live with himself any longer. Coming forward was the beginning of this process, of a process. See, in a very dark way, he was experiencing that crushing defeat of knowing that there was a behavior that was wrong and losing all the time. And he was, in the end, crying out for help. Yes, whilst of course there needs to be justice and a jail sentence, no doubt, for the safety of the society and for him. And he knew that, I'm sure, by handing himself in. One hopes that someone will give Jared Perry the hope that this passage brings. That is the gospel. No matter how dark and deep we've gone in our behavior, the gospel saves. See, we may not be as extreme as Perry, but when we forget that we're saved by faith, we fall back into that works-based mentality, which is powerless against the flesh. And the result is a constant underlying feeling of, I'm not quite reaching the mark here in life. Not quite good enough, imprisoned and trapped. It's a match we really shouldn't want to try and fight as human beings before God. And praise be to God, it's a fight we don't have to take on ourselves. Paul offers and reminds of a different pathway, which they knew, the fantastic news that goes right to the heart of the Christian faith. Verse 13 and 14, look down with me. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Jesus versus the curse, Jesus has won once and for all. Jesus wasn't under the power of the curse. Why? Because he was totally sin-free. His flesh had no weakness. He lived out the law of God perfectly. That enabled him to become the curse for us and to set us free from that curse. I'm going to do a little illustration of this and how this work of Jesus on the cross has made a difference to how we should live by faith in Christ. I've got two volunteers again. Gareth's going to come up again, and Thomas, if you just come up. Here I've got two shirts. Here's an England football shirt. There we go, nice and white, nice and clean. Okay, so Thomas has said he would like to take the England football shirt because he wants to play the role of Jesus here. So he's going to take that one. This one is my hockey shirt from yesterday, red, dirty, stinking, sweaty. This resembles our sin before God, okay? Gareth's going to take that, okay? So they've got their shirts on here. And Gareth has always aspired. He wants to be an England footballer. He's a footballer. He sees the law. He sees what he wants to live like, but he just can't keep doing it because his shirt smells of all my BO and sweats. It smells of his sin. He cannot reach that perfection. Jesus, however, when he died on the cross, he was perfect. He was totally sin-free. And so when Jesus died on the cross like that, that enabled Jesus to take our sin for us. So, take your shirts off. When Jesus died on the cross, he could take all our sin for us. And when Jesus died on the cross, that meant that we could have forgiveness, and the sinner before God now has a totally clean slate. There's a total swapping here, an exchange, where the perfection of Jesus gets given to Gareth here, and the sins of Gareth gets taken by Jesus on the cross. That's the good news of the Christian faith. Now, this week, we see that the Galatians basically said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We've heard this circumcision group. What we'll do is we'll swap back. Go on, swap back. Ridiculous, isn't it? Who would want to take my sweaty, dirty shirt back? You wouldn't, honestly. That's what they were doing. It's ludicrous, isn't it? So they were now living by the law again. And now, with this kind of mindset, this has an impact on the way not only we review God and our relationship with him, but on every part of life. Thank you, guys. You can take a seat. You can take your shirts with you as well. See, why is this crucial for us? As we conclude now, well, that victory that Jesus won for us, won on the cross, was a victory that we can win every day when our faith is in him. It's not just his victory, it's our victory every day. Why is this crucial? Well, functionally, how do we approach each day? See, when we rely on self before God, that burden can enter into every area of our lives. When it comes to our work, we can be determined to make sure that our timesheets are perfect, that we're better than the rest, better than all those at my level. We strive for credibility and status. When it comes to trying to find a marriage partner for life, we need to make sure we get this right. The other person needs to be perfect. I need to make the perfect choice here, or else it'll never work. Or maybe we're married, we need to make sure that we're keeping our spouse happy all the time. We need to gain their approval, or else it'll all fall apart. Maybe serving God, we need to do X, Y, and Z. We need to tick a number of boxes. You know, we're saved by faith in Christ, but actually, yeah, really, we're only accepted by God if we're serving in lots of different ministries at church. It becomes duty, doesn't it? Parenting, we're right in the midst of this now with Wilf just approaching, or probably about 2 or 3 weeks into his terrible twos. It's almost like a kind of known season, terrible twos, and we're right in the midst of it now, chucking all his food on the floor. I won't go any further. But anyway, we're right in the midst of it now. How do we parent? All these decisions, there's so many manuals out there. If you don't do this for your child, if you do this or don't do that, you're doomed. You'll be a failure before God, and your child will fail. You see, this self-reliance puts great burdens on ourselves, doesn't it? It gives us great fear and anxiety, and ultimately, as human beings, it is exhausting. I remember my brother at Christmas was telling me that he was having a conversation with his pastor in London about parenting, because they've got 3 children, one of which is particularly tricky. They're all kind of middle primary school age. And one of them has been a little bit tricky. And he was saying that he was having a conversation about parenting with his pastor. And my brother was, you know, anxious about doing the right thing and making sure they're doing the right thing. And the pastor said, parenting is all about grace. Parenting is all about grace. It's all in God's hands. Simple. See, that salvation and grace that we receive in our relationship with God, when we get that right, it enters every area of our lives. When we remember that it is by faith in Christ that we live for God in practice, this gives us grace in all areas of our lives. Condemnation is swapped for forgiveness. Duty swapped for joy. Guilt for freedom. Fear for faith. Anxiety for peace. No hope for full of hope. Death for eternal life. That is the blessing of God. No matter how rotten we may feel from day to day, however useless we think we are before God, how often we think we fail or we're not good enough, thanks to Jesus, God views us as perfect in his eyes because of Christ. That gives us great certainty and assurance. Can I encourage you to allow this assurance to manifest itself in all areas of your life by having Jesus at the center and putting your faith in him? That is the way in which we're freed from all the burdens of this life, not least the burden of striving to be perfect before God for our salvation. Just as I finish now, I refer to my surf story. If you're a Christian here today, don't be British about this. Accept each day that you need rescuing, that you need to stay with the rescuer each day. Don't exhaust yourself before God. Cling on to that rescuer like I did when I was in desperate need. He is our hope to get us to the finish line. And it's in Christ that we find true blessing in this life. Cling on to that rescuer. If maybe you're on a journey and you're still trying to explore and find your way and what it means to be a Christian, would you accept Christ as your Savior today? Would you accept, like I did 15 years ago, that I couldn't do it anymore? I really needed help. I couldn't live to God's standards anymore. And I was getting exhausted. I genuinely was exhausted. In my second university, I was exhausted of living independently of God. It was like paddling into that current on the surfboard. I was getting tired and sick of it, not getting anywhere in life, often going backwards. Will you acknowledge that that is maybe where you're at and put your faith in Jesus? Receive the blessing of God because of what Jesus has done for you on the cross and live for him by faith in Christ. I'm going to pray for those two things now. Let's close our eyes and pray. Father God, thank you so much that we are saved by faith in you, Christ alone. There's nothing we can do or undo that which you have done for us on the cross. Thank you that we can take that not only as the point in which we come into relationship with God, but we can take that into our relationship with you every day. We can live by faith in Christ. So I pray, Lord, you would help us to do that. And maybe for some here today, today is the day when they accept that and acknowledge you, Jesus, as their Savior. Would you come, Lord, into their hearts? Would you forgive our sins, Lord, and bring us new life that brings great blessing and releases us from the burdens of trying to prove ourselves in this life and before you? We pray for this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.